Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and wrote to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Heard about a mansion he built for me in glory. Hallelujah. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption spoken. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. I thank God there is victory that we can have. And that victory's in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Bible said we're complete in Him. I remember one Wednesday night, it was my turn to do the service on a Wednesday night. And I didn't even realize what I was reading. I really didn't. I read the other book of Colossians. I mean, I'm just reading at random. I mean, I'm not near really any great spiritual nothing anyway. Bumming about the rocks. I was reading that night out of the book of Colossians. It talks about in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it says, we're complete in Him. And my pastor shouted, jumped about three or four pews and took off. And I thought, wonder what that was all about. But you know what? That registered down in his soul. And you know, we don't really think much about this, but here's the victory. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, talking about Jesus. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting on of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, my pastor had been told that he had to speak in tongues. He'd been told, you know, that he had to, you know, all this kind of stuff the world tells you. You can't be saved if you ain't this or that, or you ain't their creed. They're the only ones going to heaven. And that night, I didn't even realize what I was reading. I was just reading Colossians chapter 2. And I got to that part right there, buddy, my pastor, buddy, he done more than hear it. He received it. I still remember it today. He shouted, jumped up, took off. And I said, hallelujah, what was it? He said, I'm complete in Him. That's where the victory is, amen.
Yeah.
Now the world's going to tell you, lacking this, Christina, they're going to tell you, well, you can't possibly be saved. Well, He said you can. He said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them believe on His name. Now the world's going to tell you something different than the Word of God tells you. He said, as many as come to Me, I will in no wise turn them away. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, He got this thing fixed up where we can have some victory. And if you'll take God at His Word, you can have some victory. I appreciate that song, Victory in Jesus. Amen. The victory is not in the Baptist church. The victory is not in the Catholic church, the Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, or anything else they can muster up. The victory is in Jesus. Amen. And the Bible said, he that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. And the wrath of God abideth upon him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just say it was a good revival. And I believe Donnie got a little revival. He done moved up here almost to the front row. Amen. And I was going to commend him on that. I couldn't hardly wait to get that out. I like to see people move on up. I'm pretty bad about moving them on back. And sometimes I guess move them back too far. But I'll make a habit of going on back there anyway. But this got a blessing this morning seeing Donnie up here in the front up here. That really blessed me, amen. That's a good place. That means there's no distractions between him and the Word of God. And that's a good place to be. Matter of fact, if you ever see old Brother Eddie sitting in church and I ain't sitting on the front row, go over and ask him what happened. Because that's where I'll be sitting there, right there on the front row, amen. My wife, I love my wife, I do. But if she's not going to sit on the front row, I ain't going to sit with her. I'm going to be sitting on the front row. And I don't care. You know, I don't mean it sarcastically. But I'm there for the Word of the Lord. I want something from God. I'm serious about living for God. This ain't a game with me. I'm not trying to, play some silly charade. I want you to know, buddy, I love the Lord. And I want to get there. I don't want one single word to fall to the ground. I'm sitting there, buddy, waiting for the Word of God to come just so I can get all I can get of it. I really enjoyed the revival this week. I thought it's really good. We had several really big crowds here. I was very encouraged by that. I like Brother Philip. He took his coat off and just slung it over. I like that. Amen. I like that. That's good. And, I just meant he had liberty. Amen. He didn't have to worry about nobody speaking against that or saying anything. He probably wouldn't have cared if he had him. But that was a sign to me he had liberty. Amen. He was comfortable here to preach the Word of God. Okay, let's open our Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 5. We'll be reading several verses here out of Daniel chapter 5. Please pray for me this morning. This message, pretty tough message. I desire your prayers. Daniel chapter 5. We'll start our reading right there in verse number 1. We'll read to verse number 9. And we'll stop our reading right there and go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to take my jacket off. And I ain't going to throw it. I don't mean nothing by that. I just mean I'm going to lay my jacket right there. I ain't got very many. I'm going to take care of it. But the Bible says here in Daniel chapter 5 that Belshazzar, that's Nebuchadnezzar's son, and he's king. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine. They praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. I'll stop my reading right there. I'm going to preach this morning when the message is from God. And please pray for me and pray with me. Father, we just pray, dear Father, this morning that You would let us partake of the things of God. Lord, open Your words to us. Lord, I don't want to speak the words of men. Lord, I don't want to tickle ears. Lord, I pray this morning, Father, that You anoint me from on high. Give me ability that I don't have, that I might be able to preach the precious Word of God, Lord, in the hour that lays ahead. Lord, I do pray, dear Father, today to be yielded, completely submitted to You, Lord, that You might be able to use me. Lord, I pray, dear Father, Lord, to have wisdom and discernment from You to know how to go in this message. I pray You'll preach to me and through me that we all may say that we've visited the house of God today and heard from heaven, and we'll all give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When the message is from God. I want you to know somebody wrote on this wall. They wrote on this wall a message. The Bible said that the king saw the finger of the hand as it wrote on the wall. He didn't understand what it said, but he did understand that the message was from God. I want you to know, buddy, I've seen a few times when the message was from God. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul here writing to the church of Corinth, and he said, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe?" They're just preachers. And we do, from time to time, we miss the message because we put so much emphasis upon the messenger. I mean, he had a nice coat on. Well, I took mine off. He had a nice tie on. I may take it off before it's over with. He had his hair fixed right. I can't take it off. It's done gone. Amen. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we get caught up in the messenger, Jesse, and we don't get the message. Amen. I want you to know this morning, I do have a message, and the message I've got this morning is from God. It's not just to you, it's to me also. It's to America. It's to our president. It's to our vice president. It's to the House Speaker. It's to Congress, Senate, and judges and lawyers. The message this morning is from God. Amen. You know, we don't need to be distracted from the message by the messenger. Jude, it's only one chapter, but verse 16 says, "Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Now, y'all are not aware of this. This is mostly just known by preachers. But there's a lot of politics in preaching. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a gate. Preachers want an opportunity to preach somewhere, and they'll slide over to somebody and brag, you know, how the Lord gave them such and such a message and all that right there. And, you know, they try to get an opportunity, and most of them are guilty. I'm probably the only one, I guess. I mean, deep down inside, I would like to have Billy Graham's platform. I agree with that. But not for the exalting of Eddie Wade, but for preaching the message of God to lost souls that they might be saved. But most preachers, they want to have their person in it. And admiration because of advantage. So they put out, you know, CDs. They put out, videos. They got websites. They got cards. Man, they open up, it folds down. They got cards all the way down to the floor and stuff like that right there. And there is a lot of politics. If you don't know, I'll just tell you. Most preachers, they want appointments. They want to be a pastor and evangelist at the same time. Listen, I'm thrilled. Let's just build with these few sheep, Brother Anthony. This right here is more than this little dog can cover anyway. But I just thank God. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. And it don't bother me a bit. You know, if there wasn't no more than 10 people here this morning, there'd be more than I could preach to. But I'm so glad this morning to have so many here this morning. So just bear with me just a little bit. But for the most part, with preachers and with churches, they try to have the advantage over me as a person. Well, we got Brother so-and-so over here. You know, some people, I guess their match, it won't strike on them but their box, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We tried to get out and do a little visiting this week, and I went to place that, well, we go here. I said, okay. Are you going tonight? No? Well, come on down. We better not. And that's the way, I mean, I ain't got no axe to grind here. I'm just telling that's the way people are. How their birds of feather flock together. Me, mine, that's all, you know. And some churches think they're elite. They're above somebody else. They've got, you know, the key. Or they got, you know, some kind of a connection, you know, with God or whatever. But I want you to know there's a lot of politics in preaching. Jesus made a statement to the multitude in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. He said, what went you out the wilderness to see? He's talking about John the Baptist. He said, what made you go out there? Somebody must have said, hey, there's a crazy guy out here. Hey, he's eating locusts, wild honey. Man, he ain't got much on. He's girt about, you know, with a camel's vesture or something like that right there. You know, he ain't got much on. He's out there preaching. And people come from everywhere to hear John the Baptist preach. But Jesus said, forget about John. What'd you go out there for? What was your purpose? Actually, I was going to mention it during revival. I never did really feel like I had an adequate place to mention it. But you know, even in that revival, did you ever stop and think about what you came for?
Amen.
Think about this. What did you come for? Jesus said, if you went out there to see John, He said, you wasted your time. He said, John preached, and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. He said, behold, the axe laid to the root of the tree. And He said, every tree that beareth not fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. They didn't get the message because they put too much emphasis on the messenger. Jesus said, he wasn't much to look at, but listen to what He said, amen. The message was from God.
Amen.
Well, I hope you're getting this morning, because this is about as fresh you'll ever get a message from God this morning. This message here to Belshazzar, it could not be denied. Boy, I'm sure, you know, well, I heard a story one time about this. Most of the things I shared, y'all heard at Bethel Baptist Church, it runs so rich over there, I don't guess I'll ever run out. My pastor shared a message over there one time, and in that message, he talked about this guy in the church, and at the end of service, Keith, he'd always say, boy, you told them today, preacher. Boy, you let them have it today, preacher. And the preacher thought, what's it going to take to get to that man? They said one day a big old snow hit Molly, and nobody showed up but that preacher and that man. The preacher said, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. And then he got up there and snorted and preached like a wild man, got done, and nothing happened. He went back there to the door, and that man come out, and you know what he said, Jesse? He said, boy, preacher, if they'd been here today, you'd told them. Amen. But for some reason or another, we think that, you know, that we're just hearers of the Word of God that doesn't pertain to us. That it goes in one ear and out the other ear. With Belshazzar's case, it wasn't like that. It could not be denied. He couldn't shake it. Matter of fact, he started shaking, I believe it said. I ain't never been so scared my knees knocked, but I'll tell you what, in this case, I can certainly understand the fear. Because right in the middle of his blasphemy and his party, right in the middle of his drinking and the praising the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone, right in the middle of all that, the real God showed up. I like it when the real God shows up. Amen. And the real God showed up, started writing on the wall, and Belshazzar saw that writing. He said, boys, we better stop our partying. We better stop our blasphemy. No, I'll tell you what he did, but he just started shaking so much, I don't believe he could get a word out. But in his heart, I believe he thought, I wish I hadn't done what I'd done. Now, I may be a little long preaching here. I may have to go more than one service to preach this message. But I'll tell you this, the message couldn't be denied. It was from God. Now, sometimes there are people preach things that's not from God. And I've heard them. And I'm glad that we have the witness of the Holy Ghost of God to let us know when something's from God or not. I'm glad, praise God, that you know We're spiritual beings, and the Bible talks about the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. We can know the things of God. And the Bible said, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. But we know them by the Spirit of God through Christ, amen. I'm glad, amen. I can tell a difference whether something's from God or not, amen. I've heard so many could preach good. I love them. I ain't got anything negative to say about them, but some of the stuff they preach, it's just kind of like mechanical. I mean, they know what they're going to say before they ever say it. I like it. Praise God. You ain't got a clue what you're going to say, and the Lord gives you to say. But this message not only could not be denied, but this message came with the finger of God. Amen. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, upon Mount Sinai. Two tablets laying there. And the Bible said, with the finger of God, He wrote on those two tablets, those Ten Commandments. And I know today, we don't want those Ten Commandments. I don't have no problem with that because you can't keep them anyway. But I'll tell you one thing about those Ten Commandments. They will show you that you can't live to the expectation of God. Those Ten Commandments are to show you it's out of reach. Those Ten Commandments are to show you that all is sin and comes short of the glory of God. They're to show you your need of a Savior. They're to show you your need of the righteousness that Jesus died to give you. Because, buddy, if you stand before God and you're righteous, you're going to realize, buddy, those Ten Commandments are sufficient to strip you of all the righteous you think you got. There was a man come to Jesus. Boy, he had the righteous. And Jesus said, yeah, but you got one you're lacking in. Go sell what you got and give to the poor. And he said, I'm gone. Paul said he'd not known sin, but by the law. For the law said, thou shalt not lust, thou shalt not covet. He said, I found out I was a sinner and didn't even know it. I'll tell you right now, buddy, the law is there to show you your need of salvation. The law is there to show you that you come short of the glory of God. It was wrote with the finger of God. I would ask the question, but I don't want to mess up the message. But there was another place God wrote with His finger. It's in the New Testament. It's in John chapter 8. And He wrote upon the ground. And as He wrote upon the ground, that mob that wanted to stone that woman, it was called red-handed in the act of adultery. As they saw the writing on the ground, the Bible said they began to be convicted in the heart. And they left. And there wasn't nobody left but Jesus and that woman. And he said, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, no man but me and thee, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But I want you to know, when God's finger writes, it's a message from God, and it cannot be denied. That mob that wanted to stone that woman, Christina, they couldn't deny that message. That message let them know that there's no better than her. Jesus said in that message, He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And all of a sudden, buddy, they didn't see so high and mighty now above her. Now they saw themselves in the mirror of God, lost and undone. And I tell you what, buddy, they left and in a hurry! Amen. As the finger of God, Belshazzar here, he's the king. The being king, he's not above this message. His throne is no alternative to this message. This message is a message of judgment for his sinful ways. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, there is a sin unto death. That's what he did. He sinned unto death. That's what brought the finger, was the amount of sin and sarcasm and blasphemy that he took to the God of heaven and said, I don't have to answer to you. I'm king. And the finger came down and wrote on the wall and said, who's king now? Amen. Ananias and Sapphira in the church, sin unto death. Doesn't sound like no bad sin. They went and sold the land, and they bought some of the money to give to the cause, but they agreed in their heart in Acts 5 that they keep part of it back. God said, I ain't having that. They're both going to be buried today. Ananias fell dead. Amen. Peter said, why has Satan filled our heart to lie against the Holy Ghost? He fell dead. His wife come in and said, tell me, do you sell the lamb so much? He said, yeah. He said, the feet of those that just buried your husband to carry you out, she fell dead. There is a sin unto death. You better be careful with sin. I want you to know, there ain't nothing funny about sin. I know we make jokes about sin. We make movies about sin. We glamorize sin. There's a lot of sin coming in the church. I'll tell you one thing. There ain't nothing funny about sin. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, brings forth death.
Right.
It ain't funny when you're at the funeral home. It ain't funny at the graveside. It ain't funny then.
Right.
Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Well, King Belshazzar, he's sinning against God. He's sinning against heaven. He thinks in this party he don't have to answer to God. I want you to know all of us. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man, even the king, even the president, even the vice president, even the house speaker, the senators, the congress, the lawyers, the judges, all of them. We're all just sinners in the sight of God. I want mercy. Somebody said a woman went to a photographer, Anita, and he was going to take her picture. And she said, "Are you sure that camera do me justice?" He come out behind that camera. He said, "Ma'am, you don't need justice. You need mercy." I want mercy. I'm just like her. I want mercy. Amen. I don't want the judgment of God. I want to escape the judgment of God. Now listen. I know Jesus said in the world we'd have tribulation. I know we're going to have tribulation. I don't mind little tribulation. I don't mind trouble. I don't want that great tribulation.
Amen.
Because in that great tribulation, the Bible said men are going to seek death and it's going to flee from them. Now, that's how bad it is, Carolyn. It's so bad they want to die. They don't even want to live. And in this great tribulation, they're asking permission to die. And God won't give them permission to die. And they cry out to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him." I'm telling you, buddy, when He shows up, this world's going to have a day of reckoning. Amen. Oh yeah. This message was from God. This was a personal message. It was personally written with the finger of God. It was written to this King Belshazzar. It could not be denied. It wasn't going to go away. Also, it couldn't be determined what the writing said. You want to find out about God, go where God is.
That's right. Amen.
You want to learn something about the Bible, go where they know it and teach it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, I tell you, some preachers I don't listen to. The reason I don't is because they don't use the King James Bible. And the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, "Cease, my son, hear instruction, cause you to err, my words of truth." And I don't want to err. I want to be able to quote the Bible. Charles Stanley, and he's my brother. And you know, I certainly couldn't throw a rock if I wanted to. But he can't quote Scripture no more. You know why? Because he don't use the King James Bible. So now he has to write it down and read it. Sometimes I can quote it, sometimes I can't. But I'll tell you one thing. God's not the author of confusion. I ain't going to be authorized it neither. But I want you to know this writing could not be determined. It's like a doctor's diagnosis. It can't be read. Amen. You take it over to the pharmacy and they fill it. But ain't nobody can read that writing. It's just a line runs across through there and makes a little hump or two. I don't know about y'all. I paid through the nose for some of them. It's a line. You know, it's got one hump, maybe a zero or something. That's it. And that's your prescription. You look at it and you think, "This is going to help me?" He said, "Just take it over. They'll fill it." I take it over and they got some kind of secret code. They put it on this thing and it decides it, I reckon. I don't know how anybody could read it, William. Maybe y'all been to doctors like that. They must go to some kind of school and learn how to write like that. But it's like a doctor's diagnosis. It can't be read with a natural eye. Only someone that's learned to train and he needed help. His wise men couldn't help him read it. You know, people will go anywhere but to God for help. All they had to do, Mevin, all they had to do was say, "I've sinned. I'm sorry." But you see, he tries this long route. I've seen people do it. They go out here. And then they go out there. And then they go out there. And then they come all the way back and say, "Well, I tried." They'll go anywhere but straight to God.
Amen.
Good example, that woman had that issue of blood. The Bible said she had it 12 years. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, she had an issue of blood 12 years. The Bible said she suffered many things of many physicians and was nothing better but rather grew worse. I want you to know the dollar signs kept coming and she spent all. I think it still goes on today. It's verse 26. But the Bible said in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, she heard of Him. Now all you that are saved this morning, How is someone like her going to hear about Jesus? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I listened to a man on the way up here preach about the sin of silence. How that we don't say, when we should say. And we don't do what we should do. We just go through motions. We just expect somebody else to say and somebody else to do it. But I want you to know there's a reason you're not in heaven. There's something you need to do. And we need to be busy. We need to be working. There are people perishing, going to hell. And I'm telling you right now, this woman heard from someone. There's a man called Jesus.
Amen.
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 You know what she said? She said, if I can just get to Jesus.
Amen.
Now she believed. Don't condemn her faith. It's kind of far-fetched. But she believed if she could just touch the hem, she wasn't even going to bother him. Carolyn, she just said, I believe if I can just slip in among the crowd and just touch a hem of His garment, I believe I'll be made whole.
Yes. Yes.
The only place in your entire Bible, people's always telling me that you can't feel nothing. This is the only place in your entire Bible. The Bible said in verse 29, she felt in her body that she was healed. I felt it the day I got saved. I felt the peace come down in my soul. I felt the joy unspeakable boy coming up. And I'm telling you, buddy, what I felt, I couldn't explain. What I felt, the mirror couldn't show. But what I felt, I couldn't have. I still ballistic for Jesus. I still going like Paul said. I want to listen. I tell you right now, I want to tell about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I hate to throw this in here. I know it's going to take up a lot of time. I had an opportunity this week to talk to a young girl. We got to going by McDonald's getting an ice cream cone on the way home. I don't reckon that's a sin. But I shouted, my throat was kind of tired and wore out. And I stopped over there, get me an ice cream cone. And this girl at the window, she looked down and saw them signs on my car plastered on there. And she said, boy, that's different. I said, yeah, it's the Word of God, honey. I said, I'm a preacher. I said, I'm trying to get people to God. And I said, that's the Word of God. And she was pretty much speechless. Well, Friday night, the last night of the revival, me and my wife both need to go to the restroom. So we decided we'd stop at McDonald's. This time we was going to go in instead of go through the drive-thru. Guess where we pulled? Right beside a car she was getting out of. I didn't know it. I mean, she didn't have her uniform on. I didn't recognize her. Her name's Jessica. She said, have you got time to explain to me again about them verses on there? I told my wife, I said, go ahead, honey. I tell you right now, I will take time. I will. I'll take days. I'll take weeks. I'll take months. I'll tell whoever will stand and listen about Jesus. I love to tell people about Jesus. She said, have you got time? I said, absolutely. She said, what's that verse say? That's Job chapter 37, verse 7. I said, Jessica, that verse said, He setteth up the hand of every man, that all men everywhere may know His handiwork. I said, Jessica, looking you right in the face is the endorsement of your Creator to let you know that you didn't evolve, that you were created. Your fingerprint and my fingerprint, her boyfriend there, his name was Quentin. I said, Quentin, his fingerprint and mine and yours are all different. Because God sealed up our hand. And He put in His Word that He did it. The FBI know about it. They'll track you by it. She said, what's that next one mean? I said, that says you know you wasn't born gay. I know this is a touchy subject. I know people still kind of confused. How come it just all of a sudden surfaced? You know why it surfaced? Pulpit's been getting too cold. We're not taking the Bible in the schools no more. There's no prayer in the schools no more. There's no blessing of God on the schools no more because He's not welcome no more. And this lie is straight out of hell. It tells people you was born gay is straight out of hell. It's where the devil is satanic. But let me sum up gay and lesbian in one word. It's just pure rebellion.
Right.
And that verse there says, this I know, that God made man upright. He didn't make you gay. He didn't make you lesbian. He made you right.
Amen.
But the rest of that verse says, they sought out many inventions. What's some inventions, Brother Eddie? Well, Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, some doctor says, well, son, this is in your genes. Listen, I'd like to slap someone like that. I really would.
Here they are telling them a lie, and they make them a twofold more child of hell than themselves. Yeah. I tell you what, if I go to the doctor, I don't want him to tell me I'm all right when I ain't, Sophia. I want him to tell me, Eddie, you got about a week to live, and if you want to hug a neck, you'll find me, go do it, because you ain't got long, buddy. I'd rather him tell me the truth, tell me some lie like that, tell me it's in my genes, tell me I'm born that way, tell me it's nothing unusual, it's normal. It's not normal! I'm telling you, God will show one day! I'm telling you, glory to God, you better come out of that! I told her about that. And she said, what's that next one say? It says you can know you're saved, Jesse. I said, that verse right there says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things I've written that you may know that you have eternal life.
Yeah, right.
Somebody said, you can't know. God said you could.
Amen.
Amen. I know I'm saved.
Amen.
And people say they hope they are, trying to endure to the end. Good luck. I'll tell you right now, good luck. I'm telling you, buddy, you better make it sure. Work out your own salvation. Fair and trembling. Get it nailed down. Bible nails. I'm telling you, get it nailed down with nails of faith that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and having done all, stand there with. Amen. Don't be tossed to and fro for every lie to hell. Find out from the Word of God yourself or get behind a good Bible preacher that'll tell you what it says. Amen.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why it's getting pronounced. Most people just don't know the Bible. Then that last one down there, she said, what's that in there say? And I said, good Lord, lost my train of thought. Says you can know you're saved. I got one more on that. I can't remember what it was. Oh, man. Anyway, my thoughts just left me. I talked to her. I said, Jessica, you saved? She said, no. I said, Jessica, honey, you need to get saved. That's what's most important right here. You need to get saved. And I got talking to her about her soul and her sins and stuff. She said, God wouldn't forgive me all I've done. I said, honey, He specializes in forgiving. I said, He's reasonable. He said for you and Him to come and talk. He said, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Don't your sins be as scarlet. He said, I'll make them as white as snow. Don't they be red like crimson. He said, I'll make them as wool. I saw tears come down her cheeks right then. I said, Jessica, that's not me. I said, your heart's beating like a jungle drum right now. She said, yes. I said, Jessica, that's not me. That's God asking permission to come in and be your Lord and Savior. She said, what about that? What else for that man? I could tell she's having a little problem believing. I said, Jessica, if God had wanted, He could have had that man swallow that whale. But I want you to know, God told the whale where to be and what time of the hour to be there. And when they throw Jonah overside that ship, that whale come up and swallowed Jonah, took him down to the depths of the sea. He stayed there for 72 hours without one single breath of air. And I want you to know, buddy, what was left of him. I don't know what he looked like. I don't know what he smelled like. That whale vomited him out on dry ground. That whale knew where Nineveh was. And when that disobedient preacher finally went into Nineveh, and I'm telling you, he must have been a sack. 120,000 souls that didn't know their right hand or their left hand repented and turned to God.
Amen.
Pretty rough trail, but he made it.
Right.
He'd been a whole lot better off. Said, I'm going, Lord.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to Nineveh. Some other preachers have been through sore trials like that. Jonah decided he wasn't going to go, and God decided he was going to go.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, obedience, it's a pretty good thing. It's better to obey than to pay. Amen.
Right.
That's not Bible, but it's true. Then she said, and I appreciate her honesty. You know what she said next, Jesse? She said, what about all them animals going in that ark? I said, yeah. I said, Jessica, they went in by twos, male and female, to preserve life. I said, Jessica, that's not the miracle. The miracle is only eight people had enough sense to go in there with them. And the rest of the world perished.
Yeah.
That ark was big enough. It could have carried more than eight. Only eight people had enough sense to get in that ark. The rest of the world perished.
Yeah.
As they watched animals, had enough sense, Carolyn, to go into the ark. I said, Jessica, the miracle's the fact that the animals went in. Male and females, God commanded them, they went in, and the people sat outside and laughed and made fun of this preacher, him and his wife, Jam, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives went in this ark, and the rest of the world perished. Oh, me. People go anywhere but to God for help. The last point here, his wife. You know, thank God for my wife. Some of you men, you may not put much emphasis on your wife. Remember Pilate's wife? She tried to give Pilate advice. She said, have thou nothing to do with this just man. I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him. And I'll tell you what, buddy, this case right here, Belshazzar's wife, she said, there's a man in the kingdom. She said, call for Daniel. He can help you. Boy, I'm telling you, buddy, I hate it when it gets like this. But call a preacher. You remember Brother Dervin Wilson that was here on Sunday night a while back? He talked about an atheist that lived over in Birchville, and he works for hospice, and I like what he said. He said, I didn't even know this when I got into it, but he said they told me in hospice that they wanted me to tell people about Jesus and tell them how to be saved. He said, I couldn't believe it. I get to tell people about Jesus, get paid. I'm looking into it myself, amen. But I'll tell you what, he said he went over to Birchville, and there was a man over there, was an atheist, and he was adamant, and he said, I don't want you to tell me about Jesus. I want you to talk to me about being saved. I'm an atheist. And he'd also been trained how to handle someone like that. And he never did say anything, but he let that man know he cared about him. All things have an end. And that atheist called and he said, get here quick. I believe his nurse, he had his nurse call Delvin and said, get here quick. She said, you need to get here quick. He's dying. He's calling for you. That's where it ends up. Call for the preacher. Somebody go get the preacher. I'm dying. I've got one foot in the grave, and I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to end up in hell. I can't understand what you're saying. I can't talk. I mean, I'm down to it, and I'm just half dead, but I need the preacher to come. We shouldn't wait that late. That man called, and Delvin said that man died before he got to Birchville. He said he drove like a madman trying to get there. I'm going to tell you something like Bill Chazer, that man, buddy, he waited too long.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He overdone it. He sinned. He said, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about being saved. I'm an atheist. He died an infidel's death. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28 says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they'll not find me. Yeah, his wife said, you call for Daniel. Call a preacher. Tell him you need the Lord. Tell him you don't want to die. Tell him you don't want to go to hell. Tell you what you better do. You better get to God for judgment. What you better do.
Amen.
Judgment. That letter they wrote on that wall. Here's what that letter said. Daniel saw it. He said, praise God, let him home. But the handwriting on the wall, here's what it was. It said, many, many, tinkle your powers in. Here's what it means. Many, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tinkle, thy weight in the balances and found wanting. Persians, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And verse 30 said, that night he died. It was too late for the interpretation. He went too far in sin. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, today, if you'll hear His voice, there's hope for you. Or you could be like Belshazzar. Wait till the writing's already been signed, judgment. No mercy to be had. No grace to be given. You've waited too late. God said in Genesis chapter 6, my spirit will not always strive with man. God said He gave Jezebel space to repent. I told Jessica, I said, Jessica, God gave a woman named Jezebel space to repent. I said, Jessica, I don't know if it was this much or that much or this much, but I'll tell you one thing I know, Jessica. She didn't respond. The Bible says she repented not. She went to the place of the damned. I said, Jessica, God's given you space to repent. And you know what, buddy? That girl started trembling. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. I told you this morning this message from God. This message I'm preaching this morning didn't come from Eddie Wade. This message come from God. He's speaking from heaven this morning. He's saying, are you serious about eternity? If you are, you better get to me. Because He's the one that inhabits eternity. He's the one that's got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's the one that's able to heal. He's the one that's able to save. He's the one that's able to forgive. He can deliver you, even this morning, from any drugs or any bondage. He can do it. Hey, I was an alcoholic. I got delivered one step. One step program. I asked the Lord. Lord, I need help. Quit right there. Quit one in my hand. 25 years ago. Not a drop. 25 years. How'd you do it, Brother Eddie? I went to the Lord. I went straight to Him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me ask you a question. If not now, would you mind telling me when? See, only a fool thinks like that. Only a fool thinks about tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring. Your life's but a vapor, appears for a little while. Even if you lived, I think Brother Philip mentioned about Dewey Cooper, said he was 91 years old. Just a vapor. Appears for a little while. Even 90 years is a little while compared to eternity. It's not very long at all. Listen, when you get in hell, it's eternal. And if you do make it to heaven, glory to God, it's eternal. That's where I'm going. Amen. I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded to keep them without committed unto Him against that day. My citizenship's in heaven. My name's in heaven. I got a seat up there. I'm already seated together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. You can too. If you just get serious this morning about this message from God. Belshazzar, right in the middle of his pardon, right in the middle of his drinking, right in the middle of all that, a finger started writing on the wall. And it was too late, Carolyn. When that finger started writing, Buddy, mercy was gone and judgment was at hand. And I'll tell you what, Buddy's too late to call for the preacher when judgment comes. Listen, when the sin's finished, I'll tell you what, Buddy, it brings forth death. And the Bible talks about wine. When it's finished, it stings like an adder. I want you to know, Buddy, Belshazzar felt the sting of his sin. He realized, Buddy, he went too far. He realized he made a mistake, but it was too late for him. But if you hear a loss this morning, it's not too late for you. The Bible says today, if you'll hear His voice, He's an on-hand God. He's got a hand reached out. I told Jessica, I said, Jessica, with a nail print in His hand, a nail hole that we put there, He's still reaching out saying, I love you, I'll save you, I'll forgive you, I'll help you. I was hoping she'd be here this morning. She didn't make it this morning. But for those of you that are here this morning, listen. If not now, please answer this in your heart. If you're not going to get saved now, please tell me when. You see, the devil's been sitting beside you saying, we'll do it next Sunday. He's a liar. Father of it. The devil's been sitting there saying, you got plenty of time. He's a liar.
That's right.
Father of it. Bless you, Anita. The devil's been sitting there saying, you know, we don't need to get all worked up. We don't need to go. God says you do. God says now's the accepted time. God says today's the day. You show me where God said tomorrow. You show me where He said tomorrow you can get saved. He never did. Tomorrow's on the calendar of fools. And a lot of people are foolish like that. And Belshazzar went too far. Don't go too far. Prime example here of a message from God. A foolish king. Tragic end. He died that night. Yeah, he had conviction, you bet. Yeah, boy. When a man's joint starts coming up loose and his knees are smoting together and his loins is coming apart, that's pretty much conviction. But it's too late, William. Too late for Belshazzar. It's not too late for you. Today, if you hear His voice, you can find Him if you seek Him with your heart. Most people try to get saved in their head. They're like Naaman. They got it all figured out. That, you know, that the preacher will come out and lay his hand on him and recover him from his leprosy. Listen, don't figure it out. Just come and call upon Him. It's rich in mercy, all to call upon. I can promise you by the Word of God that if you'll come this morning, God will meet you. And I'll tell you what, between you and Him, you can get it fixed. Father, we thank You for the message this morning. Lord, we know from whence it came. And Lord, we know from whence it went. I do pray, dear Father, today for these that have heard this message, Lord, today. And those that are hearing this message by way of internet. I pray they'll make no delay. I pray, Lord, they'll not end up in that place of the doomed and the damned. That place of the devil that You said in Matthew 25:41, You prepared hell for the devil and his angels. I pray that they'll not end up there. I pray, Lord, they'll be found at the foot of the cross. I pray they'll be found near the lips of the one that said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. And I pray they'll get a refuge for their soul. I don't know who this morning was listening, but I do pray, dear Father, right now, the Holy Ghost of God will help us in this invitation. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Let me ask everyone to stand, please. Listen this morning. That's a serious, sober message you just heard. Consider this invitation. Consider it this morning. Make your way down here. Right now, don't even hesitate.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so?
Won't you go ahead and come? Step on out. Get somebody by the hand. Say, go with me. I need to get that off. I'm telling you, this is a serious message. When the message is from God, you better do something with it. Don't set it off. Come right now without hesitation, without delay. The devil will talk you out of it. Get somebody by the hand. Say, I need somebody. Go with me right now. I need to get that off. Come right off. Young or old, come on. I thought Luke was coming. He went the other way. He come out of that altar like I thought he ought to. What about it this morning? If the Lord wants to come today, He very well may do it. Are you ready? I'm telling you, buddy, a message today is from God. He may write on the wall of humanity tomorrow. He may say, time is no more. When He does write time is no more, do you forget about grace? Do you forget about mercy? Do you forget about Romans 10:13? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If He writes time shall be no more, you just got caught one of them bell chairs of moments. I'll tell you what, you're going to go out to meet God every morning. You're going to come. Come right now. Come. We just had a week of revival. You ought to be proud. Pretty good. Won't you come? Come on. Oh, I believe somebody to come this morning. I believe God gave me this message for this hour.
Why do you wait, dear brother?
Why do you wait?
Harvest is passing away. Your Savior is coming to bless you.
Yes, He is. Come on!
Delay.
Either to me or come. Young girl. If you ain't ready to meet God, be a good time. I look forward to that revival. I pray that God would let it last long enough. We could get to that revival. And it was a good revival. I'll tell you right now, buddy. I remember one night over at Bethel, a Sunday night service, my pastor preached a fiery hot message like this. And Michael McGuire was driving home with his little son, Trace McGuire. And they got to the parking lot there by Hardy's on Highway 90 right there by the IGA. And Trace told his daddy, pull the car over. And he said, what for, son? He said, I need to get saved. He said, you can do that when we get home. He said, I can't wait to pull the car over. And they got out there in that asphalt parking lot underneath the IJ wall, underneath the IJ house and sign right there. And little Trace McGuire, about Luke's age, asked the Lord to forgive him, asked the Lord to save him, and got saved right there.
Yeah.
That's what you need. Yeah. You need to say, pull over. Somebody raise their hand, please sing another invitational hymn. I need to get saved. I'm telling you, buddy, there's urgency about this matter.
Amen.
Urgency.
2:22.
Sing one more verse anyway, Brother Melvin. Good to come this morning. This is very serious service. Come on. Don't you want to be with your family in heaven? I'll tell you how you're going to be there. You'll have to go to the door of heaven. That's Jesus. You'll have to give Him permission to enter in. He'll give it to you. He'll give you permission. You ain't going to go to heaven without Jesus. You ain't good enough. Oh, I'm pretty good, Brother Eddie. Yes, compared to me, you are. Walk up alongside Jesus. Tell me how good you are. For the judgment day, are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? All right, I poured my heart out. I prayed, I preached. I can't do nothing. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning?
Brother Eddie, I love the Lord.
Amen, sister.
I thank Him for the message.
Amen, thank you.
Was from God because I failed it.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Carolyn. Appreciate that testimony. Somebody else got anything on your heart?
Brother Wade, yesterday we went to a family reunion on my mom's side of the family.
Uh-huh.
A year ago this summer, that I had a dream about my cousin and about her getting killed in a car wreck. And her brains were all over the road. And I felt compelled to go tell her. And I made my journey. I had no idea where she lived. I made my journey down there to tell her. And of course, it horrified her.
Right.
And then it was 4 days later, it was her uncle that had that wreck.
Wow.
That happened to exactly the way I dreamed it.
Wow.
And I had passed it in my dream. And in reality, I passed it as well.
Wow.
And she was at the reunion. And every time she passes me, she whispers and giggles. And she says, that's the crazy woman that came and talked to me. And I told her at the hospital, her mother convinced her that I was mistaken. Mm-hmm. I know who the Lord sent me to talk to.
Yeah.
And said, you're mistaken of who you talk to. Said, the Lord didn't send you to her. And every time I see her, I say, the Lord extended mercy to you.
Amen.
And I said, that's who the mercy was extended to. I said, your uncle's time was up. He was a bad alcoholic and some other things going on with him. But I said, the mercy was extended to you.
Amen.
You're who I'm supposed to speak to. And I heard her giggling and talking about me being the crazy woman again yesterday when I was at that reunion. But I walked up to her and I said hello to her and I loved her. And I said, the mercy is still extended to you. You're
Amen.
Still here. And she always pulls away from me. She doesn't want to see me. And I just loved on her and told her I loved her. But you know, I told her the Lord's not going to tarry forever.
True.
And, you know, she has to be reminded of that every time she sees me. So it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. You know, and she's a mother of four children. You know, it's a very serious thing. And, you know, I just thank the Lord for sending me if that's going to help.
Amen.
You know, and I know that I'm not mistaken about what the Lord tells me to do. And I just thank Him for all His mercies and for putting me in people's way, whatever He needs me to do.
Amen, Sister Nita. Amen. And I appreciate the fact she said she drove. She tried. That's about all I can do is try. Maybe somebody else got something on your heart this morning. What you got, Sophie?
I got up this morning. I told Bobby I'd done it. Bobby, I said, Bobby, I didn't think I could come to church today because I felt today. And I felt maybe when I got up, just for a minute, I'm saying I'd feel better.
Amen.
But I did. I stood sure to help me or leave, open my eyes. But thank the Lord. He blessed me to hear a good sermon.
Amen, Sister. Bless you, Sister Sophia.
I should have stayed at home, but I couldn't.
Bless your heart.
Thank God.
Amen.
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 And I'm ready to go.
Amen. Amen. I am too. I'm about as ready can be. And we'll always want. Amen. Who else got a word in the heart this morning?
The Lord today because He done it all.
Yeah, He did, Molly. He done it all.
I thank Him for the blood He shed for me. And that's the only way that you can get in heaven is
with
that blood.
Amen.
Tell you lies,
bless your heart.
And tell you, look at the world and look at the people.
Yeah.
And he's nothing but a liar.
True.
And if
liar.
You don't accept the blood to your heart, you are not going to heaven.
Amen.
I love you today.
On that cross, Jesus said, it's finished. He said He finished that work. Amen. He done it all. All right. Good to have everybody here this morning. I know Peyton and Dawson, glad to have their mama with them here this morning. I know that's a blessing to them to have their mama with them here this morning. I wish there were a lot of people like that come to church as a family. I think families love one another. I think the best place for a family to be in this day and hour is in church. And these are perilous times. Things are not like they used to be. You can't let your children play outside no more. There's just too many monsters walking around full of the devil, full of demons. They're on drugs and drink. And man, it's pretty bad. I don't even want to elaborate on it. But good to have them here this morning. That's a real blessing. A blessed sight right there. See a family there together. And let's all stand. If nobody else got anything on your heart. Yeah?
I'm really
telling
me to say this. I know he is, but I don't want to do it. But I think that we need to pray more one for another.
Amen.
And I need to have to say this.
Bless you, Carolyn.
We have truly
love one another.
True.
Amen.
Because if we don't love one another with Christ's love, we're not.
Amen.
Amen.
And this is very hard.
Bless you, Carolyn.
For me to do what He's telling me to.
Amen.
We need to pray. We need to pray because there's loss. If that message is truly from God,
amen.
There's
amen.
Something we need to do as a church.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Because, and if it's not done, we're not going to see the lost saved.
Amen. You're right.
And he's already telling me.
Bless you, Carol.
Through all this.
Amen.
We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge
amen.
Of Jesus and what He did here on the face of this earth, brother.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And if we say things we shouldn't say, and if we feel ways bless we shouldn't feel, and if we walk the way we're not supposed to walk, we're going to fall.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
We're going to fail as a church.
True.
We won't have no church.
It's true.
We need to lift each other up and pray
amen.
For each other.
Amen.
If already I feel like I can be the first. And I feel that before we leave here today, we all need to pray one for another.
Amen.
And we need to join hands in prayer. I said, Lord, I'm not going to say this. I'm not
bless
going to do
heart.
This. He said, child, you've got to do this.
Bless
today.
You, Carol.
Do it. I don't know how we need to do it or what we need to do, but we need to do something. There's lots of people
yeah.
up and down this road.
Yeah.
I've got an uncle I went to give for the revival and sit with him 2 hours. And
yeah.
I thought he could come. He's too sick to come. I don't know if he'll ever get to come.
Amen.
But he's lost.
Appreciate what Sister Carolyn said right there.
And he wants to be saved.
Amen.
What do we do? Where do we go? And how
yeah.
do we start? But now I'm free from it. It's
good.
So much pain.
Yeah. Bless your heart, sister. The Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we do have lost people here. I prayed for them last night. I prayed for them this morning. Pleaded with them. Preached this morning. And that's all I can do.
Yeah.
But she's absolutely right. Lord, the Bible said He's greater than our heart. He knows all things. And if our heart condemns us not, we receive those things that we ask. Because we do those things that's pleasing in His sight. God's bigger than us.
Yes.
He's smarter than us. He's more.
Molly's all the time talking about praying for the churches. But we start here.
Those of you that
church.
Would, let's meet up here. Let's have a word of prayer for this word. Because I want this word to be a fruitful word. And I'll tell you right now, God wants it to be a fruitful word. And we'll just pray. All that want to, just come up here and we'll pray that the Lord will help us in this work. The Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain.
Yeah.
Lord, we're just vessels of clay. Lord, I don't know about anyone else in here but me. I'm not much of a vessel of that. Lord, I want more than anything, Lord, to be anointed from on high, to be used of God. Lord, I pray more than anything, Lord, with my eyes to see You working. Lord, to see You ministering. Lord, we pray, Lord, dear Father, we know, Lord, what's at stake. We know lost people, Lord. Lord, they'll die lost. They'll go to hell. And You'll require their blood at our hand. And I do pray, dear Father, if there is any ought, that, Lord, You'd forgive us, wash and cleanse us. Lord, help us to have unity. Help us to have love, harmony. And, Lord, I do pray. And, Lord, by Your help, Lord, we'll be able to see these lost people saved. And, Lord, upon that day, we'll give You the praise and the glory. Lord, even now, we'll thank You, Lord, for Your word says You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Lord, any church that thinks they can do anything without the help of God, they're not going to get much done that's eternal. And Lord, we just pray. Lord, You'll keep us, Lord. Our Lord, mindful, Lord, of the Word of God, of the will of God, the work of God. And Lord, we'll work. And I pray, Lord, we'll also bear fruit. In Jesus' name, help us reach this community. Help us, Lord, I pray, to reach these lost ones. Lord, these are the sick, Lord, to be able to be on praying ground, intercede on their behalf. Lord, all these things, Lord, we're just beggars. Lord, just want a mercy drop from heaven. We'll ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That may be the way we should start the service. Amen. Thank you for your obedience, Sister Carolyn. That's the way churches used to do things. We just meet there, pray. And you know, when I say pray, that just means, Lord, we need help. Lord, we want to do it right. Listen, we ain't going to do it right. Let's just not do it. Let's just go put a sign up out of business, close the doors. I took the revival sign down this morning. I didn't really want to. I was kind of hoping, you know, that it could go a day or two more. Unfortunately, for me, it had to stop Friday night. And I do appreciate the revival. I thought it was a great effort. I thought it was really good. If it didn't help nobody else, it helped your pastor. I thank you for praying for me. I got a lot of help in that revival.
A lot of people praying for me. Preach right down my road. He got a lot of weeds out, and I certainly appreciate the revival. All right. Let's all stand, and we'll be dismissed.